Hey guys, I'm Staria.
I'm Angel, and we are the Daring Mormons.
And we push ourselves beyond our comfort zone.
Good evening, guys, and welcome back to our podcast episodes where we talk about the scripture. I'm Angel.
And I'm Staria.
And this is our podcast.
So just a reminder before we dive in too much, just to say an opening prayer. We always do ours right before we start recording, and then we say our closing prayer after we're done recording. So if you haven't done that, pause this and do that.
All right. Assuming that you guys already said your prayer, I'm going to jump right in. So this lesson that we're studying today is going to be in the Come Follow Me book, and it's going to be under the studying of the Mormons, Book of Mormon, and we're going to be reading November 23 to November 29th lesson, and so get ready for it.
Yep, so we'll be in Ether chapter 12 through 15 today.
All right, so we will receive a witness of truth as we exercise faith in Christ. So I want you guys to think and ponder a little bit about that main heading right there. We will receive a witness of truth as we exercise faith in Jesus Christ. What do you think that means, babe?
Can I read that myself? That's one of those things I can't hear. Okay, we will receive a witness of truth as we exercise faith in Jesus Christ. Well, I feel like it's up to us what we do to keep, the Holy Ghost in our life and to, be able to feel the Spirit and feel closer to Christ. And what I mean by that is it's up to us if we read our scriptures or if we attend church or, even if that's virtual for you or, choosing to be more Christ, throughout our days and saying our prayers. It's up to us to do that. And through doing that, that's where we can start to grow our faith and grow our testimony that he is true. I don't know if I answered that right.
No, you did. And because we have a lot of challenges that come into our life, and it's not until through the challenge is over then we'll be able to realize, hey, that challenge actually built my faith. And so we've actually been going through this a lot recently with finance, with everything, and so it's kind of nice to know that these challenges are only there to help us to build our faith. And so having said that, what effects does physical exercise have on our bodies? So for me, a physical exercise helped to strengthen our muscles, helped to keep us healthy and strong, and so that's what it is that I see. Then next question is, how can we apply this principle to faith? And I think that's pretty simple and straightforward. So we have with exercise, when we work out, we build our muscle. When we run, we tone our muscles and our body. And the same with faith is when we exercise faith, we become stronger with faith. And when we exercise our belief and trust in God, we just become stronger people.
Well, also with the mentality of it too, I think a lot of people end up straying away from the church because they have questions, but I feel like they don't know how to ask, or they have obstacles they don't know how to get through. And I think that goes with fitness as well. We run into obstacles, or we don't know, and we don't know the questions to ask, and so we just give up. So I feel like that goes hand in hand. There's also a huge mental component that goes with it as well, with growing your testimony. You have all these questions, the more you learn, and it really is just a lot of faith, a lot of things that you just have to believe. And it kind of goes with fitness too. It's I just have to believe in myself that I can do this.
Yeah, and that kind of goes right in with the next question is, how can we exercise faith in what ways can we exercise faith? And a big part of exercising faith is by actually by recognition. So like, if you recognize that there is an issue in your life, if you recognize that this is a trial, this is a challenge, then it puts you in the mindset more to be like, okay, this is where my faith comes into play. So for instance, everything could be going wrong and you'll see people that are hot, that are still happy and energetic and still living a good life, and you're wondering like, why did they get to be that way, like why did they stay that way? And the truth is that I can't say for every single person, but a lot of people that I meet that way, they just have super strong faith where their world is falling apart, but they have so much trust in God that it will, that He is the glue that will keep them together, that they just know that they can do all that they can do. And I think a big part of exercising faith comes from just believing and knowing that when hard times come or when anything is happening, that Heavenly Father has your back.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
All right, so we're actually going to move into reading Ether chapter 12, verse 2 to 22.
Okay. And Ether was a prophet of the Lord. Wherefore, Ether came forth in the days of Coriantumr and began to prophesy unto the people, for he could not be restrained because of the Spirit of the Lord which was in him. For he did cry from the morning even until the going down of the sun, exhorting the people to believe in God unto repentance, lest they should be destroyed, saying unto them that by faith all things are fulfilled.
Wherefore, whosoever believe in God might with surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always according in good works, being led to glorify God. And it came to pass that Ether prophesied great and marvelous things unto the people, which they did not believe, because they saw them not.
And now I, Moroni, would speak somewhat concerning these things. I would show unto the world that faith is things which are hoped for and not seen. Wherefore, dispute not because ye see not, for ye receive no witness until after the trial of your faith. For it was by faith that Christ showed himself unto our fathers after he had risen from the dead, and he showed not himself unto them until after they had faith in him. Wherefore, it must needs be that some had faith in him, for he showed himself not unto the world.
But because of the faith of men, he has shown himself unto the world and glorified the name of the Father and prepared a way that thereby others might be partakers of the heavenly gift, that they might hope for those things which they have not seen. Wherefore ye may also have hope and be partakers of the gift, if ye will but have faith.
Behold, it was by faith that they of old were called after the holy order of God. Wherefore, by faith was the law of Moses given, but in the gift of his Son hath God prepared a more excellent way, and it is by faith that it hath been fulfilled.
For if there be no faith among the children of men, God can do no miracles among them. Therefore, he showed not himself unto after their faith. Behold, it was the faith of Alma and Amulek that caused the prisons to tremble to the earth.
Behold, it was the faith of Nephi and Lehi that wrought the change upon the Lamanites, that they were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Behold, it was the faith of Ammon and his brethren which wrought so great a miracle among the Lamanites.
Yeah, and even all they who wrought miracles wrought them by faith, even those who were before Christ and also those who were after. And it was by faith that the three disciples obtained a promise that they should not taste of death, and they obtained not the promise until after their faith.
And neither at any time have any wrought miracles until after their faith. Wherefore, they first believed in the Son of God. And there were many many whose faith was so exceedingly strong, even before Christ came, who could not be kept from within the veil, but truly saw with their eyes the things which they had beheld with an eye of faith, and they were glad. Verse 20.
And behold, we have seen in this record that one of these was the brother of Jared, for so great was his faith in God, that when God put forth his fingers, he could not hide it from the sight of the brother of Jared, because of his word which he had spoken unto him, which word he had obtained by faith. And after the brother of Jared had beheld the finger of the Lord, because of the promise which the brother of Jared had obtained by the faith, the Lord could not withhold anything from his sight. Wherefore, he showed him all things, for he could no longer be kept without the veil.
And it is by faith that my fathers have obtained the promise that these things should come unto their brethren through the Gentiles. Therefore, the Lord hath commanded me, yea, even Jesus Christ.
All right, so a lot happened in those scriptures, and some of the biggest highlights from them were just, there were just a bunch of examples of how people handle faith in their life. And so, like, Alma and Amulek were, like, caught in a prison, literally worst-case scenario, worst thing could happen, and, you know, with their faith, they were able to walk out of the prison and literally walking through fire. And so sometimes we do feel like the things going on in our lives are the toughest things that we could possibly go through, or the, you know, you, a lot, I like the saying when people say, you know, their life might be tough, but my life is tough too. Everyone has tough lives, and the reason is it's for us to build and grow from those experiences and to build our faith. And so every single one of these were experience of how, like, you know, these people have been through trialing times, build their faith in God, and even, like, it becomes amazing, like, the amount of faith that they grow.
Yeah, guys, I marked in my scriptures, I, like, made a huge marking in my scriptures that has, like, a big word saying faith, and it's, like, highlighted and everything. Because when I skim through my scriptures, I want this to stop me, because it's just always a good reminder, you know, to check in, see, like, how much trust I actually put in God. Because I do have a lot of faith, but, like, I can, you know, be the first person to say that there's a lot of scary situations that I get in that I'm like, okay, like, am I okay? Like, is everything gonna be fine? So, yeah, I just think that it's, this chapter in particular is just so awesome to read, because reading about all those different stories and being reminded of that when people were in, like, the worst situations and still had faith in God that he was going to be there, I think that's just incredible.
So a question that is asked here is, what are the results of exercising faith in Christ?
Well, when you exercise faith in Christ, so when you have faith in Christ and you truly believe that he's there for you, even in, like, the scariest of moments where you think that it's just done, nothing else can happen, miracles happen. You know, God is there because he sees that faith. And like it says over and over in this chapter, he waits until after you have faith to show himself. So when we have faith in Christ, and he sees that, he will be there for us and help us out of hard situations or help us to figure things out, and he will bless us.
Awesome. I couldn't have said that better. Seriously, like, that is the importance of having faith in the life, to help us to grow. The next subheading here is, faith leads to hope for a better world. And I love that so much because, honestly, like, I could not imagine a world with, like, zero faith. Like, I think there's just a lot of chaos that will be happening and a lot of, like, emotional issues like depression, anxiety, a bunch of different things that will come into play even more so than it is now. And I just, You know, I literally can't imagine that.
Well, I mean, this year was a huge test for people's faith because so much went just crumbling down for a lot of people. And I think this was a year where a lot of people either became a lot more confident in their faith and their testimony, or they went in the opposite direction and just, like, didn't believe that things were going to work out.
So what would you say happens to us when we don't have hope?
Well, I think that's where you kind of go into a spiral. You know, you start to get angry and stressed and worried and frustrated and annoyed. Literally all the negative emotions start to take over because that light of Christ starts to leave your life because you don't have faith anymore. You don't believe that he's there anymore. And so Satan will take over. He'll swoop in. That's his perfect opportunity to come in because he's like, oh, perfect. They don't believe anymore. Let me just swoop in and make them lost and confused and angry. And even, like, you know, he might even make you turn against your friends and family. Like, it literally can become a spiral.
Yeah, no, and that's absolutely right. Hope is that thing that holds us strong. And so if you guys want to learn more about hope, some good chapter verses in the Book of Mormon dives deep into that. You could read Ether 12, 4, verse 4. And you could read Ether 12, verse 1 through 9. And then also verse 28. And Ether 12, verse 32. And also you could read Moroni chapter 7, verse 41. The one that we are going to read right now is Ether chapter 12, verse 4. And that's going to talk to us about how hope is like an anchor. So if you picture an anchor in a boat, you might want to, like, think about how that plays a role on the boat. And think about how an anchor in our life, how hope can be that anchor in our life. So
I love this verse. Can I read it?
Oh, yeah. No, you can't read it.
This is also very much marked in my scriptures. Wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world. Yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God.
So why is that marked through, highlighted, jot down notes? Why is it like three lines on there?
Honestly, I'm not going to lie. I think the first time I marked this, it just gave me a good feeling. I don't know if I fully like grasped it the first time because I think I read this, or I marked it when I read the Book of Mormon for the first time, like all the way through. And at that time in my life, I was just marking things that just, like, made me feel good inside because I was, like, a Grinch at that time in my life. I wasn't very pleasant. So anything that brought that warm, fuzzy feeling in my heart, I was like, that's a nice feeling, so I'm going to mark it. So I think that's where it came from first. But I think I really put some definition on it because it just started to ring more and more true to me. And every time I read it, it just makes me ask myself, like, how much am I directing my life towards Christ? Like, how much do I believe in him? And I think about all the trials I went through so far and how he helped me go through it, you know? And, like, some of those, like, I feel like he was a little bit more on, like, the sidelines, just, like, cheering me on. But others, I feel like he was right there next to me, like, literally little tiny miracles here and there helping me to get through. So it just helps me to just, like, a little check-in, you know, like, how much do I really believe in Christ and give him all that I have and, like, really just, like, trust fault, you know?
Yeah, I like that a lot, actually, because that's, hope is literally that strong. If we have it, it can literally help us to make our life so much better and keep us stable in life. But without it, a lot of things can just go pretty chaotic.
Yeah. I also just like the phrasing of it, like, hope for a better world, you know, a place at the right hand of God. I just think that's so cool.
No, yeah. No, I actually really like that too.
You're laughing at all my markings in this chapter.
All right. So that covers kind of like the hope. Now we're going to go through and talk about grace a little bit. So through the grace of Jesus Christ, weak things can become strong. And I'm going to say that again just because that's like such a heavy hit. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, weak things can become strong. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, weak things can become strong. So I want you guys to ponder on that a little bit and just kind of see how grace, Jesus Christ's grace, plays a huge role in our life and our salvation here on earth. And then we're going to dive in a little deeper. So on this one, so I don't know how much you guys know actually about grace, but I am familiar with the term grace, but I don't know everything about grace. So we're about to dive in and learn quite a bit of stuff here, hopefully, and this will teach us that. All right, so.
What are we doing first? Also, sorry guys if you can hear like knocking or pounding. Our neighbors are just loud. That's all. I don't know what they're doing. It sounds like they're nailing stuff to the wall.
All right, so we're going to go Ether chapter 12, verse 23 to 29. Now, we're going to find the message that could help a person that's feeling down, feeling depressed, feeling weak in here. So as we're listening to these verses being read, just kind of think of someone that you may know that is feeling down, feeling bad, feeling depressed, and how these verses may apply to them.
And I said unto him, Lord, the Gentiles will mock at these things because of our weakness in writing. For, Lord, thou hast made us mighty in word by faith, but thou hast not made us mighty in writing. For thou hast made all this people that they could speak much because of the Holy Ghost which thou hast given them. And thou hast made us that we could write but little because of the awkwardness of our hands. Behold, thou hast not made us mighty in writing like unto the brother of Jared. For thou madest him that the things which he wrote were mighty even as thou art, unto the overpowering of man to read them.
Thou hast also made our words powerful and great, even that we cannot write them. Wherefore, when we write, we behold our weakness and stumble because of the placing of our words. And I fear lest the Gentiles shall mock at our words. And when I had said these, the Lord spake unto me, saying, Fools mock, but they shall mourn. And my grace is sufficient for all the meek, that they shall take no advantages of your weakness.
Dang. And if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble, and my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. Behold, I will show unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will show unto them that faith, hope, and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness. I think there's one more verse.
And I, Moroni, having heard these words, were comforted and said, O Lord, thy righteous will be done. For I know that thou weakest unto the children of men according, that thou workest unto the children of men according to their faith. So there's a lot in these verses, and Sarah just pulled out her pen and started circling and marking things. Mm. So what struck you so much that you started writing things out?
Again, I think it was really just a feeling. It was just really powerful. I have definitely, I'm going to open up. This is really hard for me to do, guys. So sorry if I pause a lot. I don't like to open up because I feel like it's a weakness. And reading about weakness, like how God makes weak things strong, it just kind of inspired me to open up because, you know, I shouldn't feel like it's a weakness. But I have definitely been going through a really hard time lately because I've been struggling to figure out, like, what I'm supposed to be doing on earth. More like on the spiritual side. Just because, you know, I read my patriarchal blessing and stuff and kind of have an idea, but I feel like I'm not really doing anything to work towards it right now. So I think that this just kind of helped me to want to keep pushing forward, if that makes sense. So it gives me hope. I like verse 28 because I can't read it because I have tears in my eyes, but it talks about faith, hope, and charity, bring it on to him, and just like the fountain of righteousness.
Wow, that is so strong, babe, and thank you for sharing that. Seriously, like, I think there's a lot of people out there that feel the exact same way and feel like they may or may not be achieving their purpose here in this world, or may not even know what it is. And to be honest, like, I feel like most of us don't know what our purpose is, and that's why the pieces that we're reading before talk so much about faith, because you're gonna have patriarchal blessings, you're gonna have all these things, and all the Spirit might be pointing you towards the direction that Heavenly Father knows that you can go, but like all of this needs faith to get done. And so if you do feel down, if you do feel like you're not reaching that point, that's 100% okay, because no one actually knows what they're supposed to be doing here on this earth. That you may get inclinations and you may push towards those and have faith that it may work out. And a lot of times it does. But that's what faith is. I mean, faith is a lot of times trial by error. Like, you don't actually know. And so these scriptures here, I used to use in the mission all the time to when I worked with people that were investigating the gospel and wanted to know more. Like the verse 25, when it talks about, I'm going to read that real quick again. No, it's not verse 25, verse 26. And when I had said this, the Lord spake unto me, saying, fools mock, but they shall mourn. My grace is sufficient for the meek, that they shall take no advantages out of your weaknesses. So if you're really, really trying hard to achieve a better self and get into where the Lord wants you to be, and you feel like people are judging you or people are like pushing you down, like Heavenly Father says, like me, the world, like the weak mock, like people who truly are strong will push to get there. And in verse 27, and if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. I give unto men weaknesses that they may be humble, and my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. So this is a really big one, because a lot of time when we were teaching the gospel in the mission, a lot of investigators felt themselves getting weaker, and they couldn't understand why they were getting so weak. But like, and I would read the scripture to them that, you know, you, like Heavenly Father, like the minute you start humbling yourself and get into the point of change, there is a weakness to be shown, and you realize how small you are on the totem pole and how like little you know, like your pride kind of gets pushed away, and you realize that you're not all this giant person and this amazing being that you think you are. So it'll cause you to humble and become weak. And then once you do that, Heavenly Father says, okay, now that you've reached this point, I can bless you and build you up to where I want you to go. So it's almost like we get broken, and that's the weakness that we feel. And then Heavenly Father puts his hand in our life, and then he makes you strong in the way that he wants you to be strong. So that, like I would tell our investigators all the time, this weakness that you're going through is temporarily, because Heavenly Father needs to break you down. And then once that's done, then he can build you with the strength that he wants you to have. So That these are some really good verses here. This actually, I was about to leave my mission because I was about to quit. I couldn't do it anymore. And then I read verse 27, and like when the Heavenly Father, well, I mean, when the scripture says, "I will make weak things become strong to you," literally, it made my, like, that breaking point was when I lost all control and I felt like I was the weakest thing. And Heavenly Father put his hand in at that moment and was like, "Now that you're so broken, I can fix you the way I want you to be fixed." And from there, that point of my mission, my entire life changed, where it's like I can literally go through some tough stuff and like still be jolly, still be happy, and still be good, because Heavenly Father has already broken me the way he wanted me to be broken, and then kind of fixed me the way he wanted to be me to fix. And now has just fixing a lot of things here and there. But I just thought those verses were really, really good. We're going to move on now.
I do want to say, though, I like that in verse 27 it says, "I give unto men weakness that they may be humble." And that's what I'm working on right now, is being okay with being weak and having those weaknesses. So, yeah, right now I am being kind of broken down so that I can build myself back up. And that's what's been going on for the past couple years. But I feel like I'm hitting like the peak of it. Mm-hmm. And it's been like the hardest thing for me to go through. But
so, I mean, if you feel like you're going through that right now, like, what does that feel like?
It just feels, well, I can say with confidence that every time I read the scriptures, like, it is such a powerful feeling. And I think that's how I know that I'm going through that and not like depression. And whenever I'm having a hard day, like, I always think inward. Like, I always know that it's because I'm working on myself. It's never because of something that happened throughout my day, really. It's usually just because of something that's going on with me that I'm, like, resisting and having a really hard time allowing myself to break down. Because I grew up in a family where it's, like, you're strong. You don't cry. You, like, fall down. If you broke something, like, you don't cry. You just get back up and keep going, you know? Like, it doesn't matter. And so I am, like, that tough person. Like, I hate being weak. I hate breaking down. But I just started with baby steps. You know, like, one of the things that I know when I'm feeling the Spirit is I start to cry. That's, like, how I know that the Spirit's with me. So as of recently, I've told myself just to, like, let myself cry. Anytime I feel it, just let it out. And it actually feels super great. It's kind of like, it's almost like a hug from God, I feel like. I feel like he's just like hugging me and he's like, "It's okay, like, you're getting through this. You're getting rid of those things that you have been latched onto, and you're humbling yourself more and more every day so that you can, like, build up stronger." So it's definitely difficult, but it's also good because you're just constantly progressing.
I like that, because we were talking about it not too long ago, and we were trying to wonder, like, what is causing Staria to kind of break down a little bit more and more. And, like, this verse, actually, just now, we kind of realized that, hey, that's kind of the answer, is we, Heavenly Father, like, the closer you draw to him, you may start feeling more and more weaker. And literally, it's just so that he can build you up to be a stronger person the way that he sees strength.
And I'm also just super hard on myself. So the closer I get to him, I'm like, wow, I have a lot of flaws.
All right. So the next thing here is, it's common to compare our weaknesses to others and perceive the way others perceive strength. And so this is actually a really good topic that I want to touch on. So we're going to read Ether chapter 12, verse 26 to 27.
The ones that again. We were
just It says, "How does the Lord want," because we read it like 50 times, "how does the Lord wants us to use our weaknesses?"
I think, honestly, he wants us to turn our weaknesses into strength. Mm-hmm. Exactly how he says, like, literally I make weak things become strong unto them. So this process I'm going through, he's having me recognize my weaknesses, you know? And I think the biggest weakness I have is that I hate feeling weak. And I think that, seriously, I swear, I think God puts me in a position every single day where I feel weak. And I feel like, I think that's why I've been feeling so defeated lately, because that consistent feeling of feeling weak is just draining me, and it's also driving me crazy. But I think God is trying to help me to realize that it's actually, it can be a strength, you know? It can be something that can help me in the future. It can be something that can help me when we have kids. You know, maybe I can help. I know in my patriarchal blessing, it talks a lot about missionary work, and it talks a lot about teaching the young women in the church. So maybe that's something that is going to, you know, once I can figure out how to make that a strength, it can help me with teaching, and it can help me with guiding people to Christ. I don't know. Like, and that's the thing, is like, you just have to have faith that whatever is going on right now, the hard time that you're going through, like, it's not just some random hard time you're going through. It's definitely there for a reason. So yeah, I really think just that sentence, I make weak things become strong unto them, I think that is just,
I feel like true. You're definitely on that cuff though, where it's like you hit the peak and like you might be turning over now, because like we were talking the other day and we just started realizing that like with everything going on and the weaker she feels, then we realize, hey, this is what's up. And she was like, I just have to get stronger. And so this week was actually really good, because it's a week of like recognizing and growing, instead of like, oh no, I'm feeling really weak, I'm feeling really weak, and that's it. Now it's like, I'm feeling really weak, okay, what am I gonna do about it, you know?
I also, like, during the summer, I also prayed to God and asked him to somehow show me that I am strong, because that's where it, like, started, it, like, began, was this summer feeling this way. And, well, he definitely threw a huge obstacle in my way that was the hardest thing for me to get through. So I think also just praying, too. Like, if you're in a weird situation right now and you're really struggling, you're feeling weak, just pray, you know, because I'm sure that he'll give you some sort of clarity.
Now, yeah, I back that up 100%. The next question is, how does Heavenly Father wants us to see the weakness of others? And this is a big one, because we're full of a world full of people that are weak, that show a lot of weaknesses. And I never think that it's a good idea to confront someone and say that they're weak. I think a good idea is to help them to see why they're weak and like build on that point, because we all struggle with weaknesses. But like Heavenly Father says, if you are pulling someone down because they're weak, it's because you're weak yourself. And like he throws down on that in 26, verse 26, and he's just like, you know, that weakness that someone else's has isn't for people to kind of run over with. And so just ponder on that. We don't have to answer that here, but kind of think about how we should treat, how we see the weakness of others. We're going to now move over into our last part of this podcast, and is rejecting the prophets brings spiritual danger. So rejecting the prophets brings spiritual danger. So if you want to think about the prophets of old, prophets of now, mean to you and the world, and then we're going to talk about how rejecting those things can be a danger into our own life.
I mean, when you're rejecting a prophet, you're basically rejecting God, because the prophet gets a lot of revelation, and what the prophet is saying, that's like directly what he, revelation that he got from God. So I feel like if you're rejecting the prophet and what he's saying, then you're just rejecting what God is saying.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to read Ether 15 verse 9, and then we're going to read Moroni chapter 8 verse 28. So first one is Ether 19, sorry. 15:19. I'll read Moroni 8:28.
Okay, so this is Ether 15, verse 19. But behold, the Spirit of the Lord had ceased striving with them, and Satan had full power over the hearts of the people, for they were given up unto the hardness of their hearts and the blindness of their minds, that they might be destroyed. Wherefore, they went again to battle.
So did you pull anything from that one there?
That Satan will grab on the second that he has an opportunity.
Yeah, so as you go through the scriptures, you learn that the prophet's words are more of like guidance and like beware of danger, like stay away from this, do that. And the minute you lack that, you stop listening to those things, or the minute you like lose faith or hope, Satan swoops in and just tries to pull.
A great example of this, at least in my opinion, is when the prophet announced that we were going to switch to only 2 hours of church, and that last hour you were supposed to be with your family and, like, you know, have scripture time, or, you know, have your, like, spiritual time, whatever you want to do with that. I think a lot of people kind of grumbled at that. They're like, or they were like, oh, great, like, we don't have to go to church for 3 hours. We can just go home and chill. I really think that that was preparing us for this year, not having the ability to go to church and learning already before this happened how we can have church at home. So I think that was a great opportunity, like a great example that, like, people either took that to heart. They're like, okay, the prophet's telling us that 1 hour of church is at home with our family. We're reading our scriptures. We're having some sort of lesson together. But other people might have been like, oh, well, this is just like a break. You know, this is like only 2 hours of church and I'll go home and that's it. So that's kind of an example of, were you listening to the prophet or were you not?
Yeah, and I definitely think, especially, in all times, like, people have a hard time following the words of the prophets. Like, one of the words from the prophet in this conference was, hey, no matter who wins the election, like, stay strong, you know, give support. This is our country, you know, and just kind of grow with it. And so people may take or leave it, same as like what Steyer just described, like you go home and spend that time with your family. A lot of people were like, oh, sweet, church are only like 2 hours now. And there's just a lot that prophets warns us about, the prophets warn us about, that, you know, if you're not active in listening to the prophets, the words of the prophet, you may miss a lot of things. And we're guilty of that. Like, we don't listen to General Conference all the time because I find it boring a lot of the times. But I'm trying to get there. We talked about weakness. That's one of my weaknesses, and I'm trying to get better at it. And, you know, I'll slowly get there. Same with Star. And but, you know, just pay attention to how the prophet's words can help us. Now we're going to read verse 28 of Moroni chapter 8. Pray for them, my son, that repentance may come unto them. But behold, I fear lest the Spirit had ceased striving with them. And in this part of the land, they are also seeking to put down all power and authority which cometh from God. And they are denying the Holy Ghost. So that's pretty intense scripture. It's saying that in that part of the land, that anything that has to do with God and, like, any position of power that Heavenly Father had in that area, they are planning to root it down. And, like, I don't know how a society gets to that point, but that's pretty intense.
Seriously.
And so, you know, that is, if you want to read more about that and, like, how the Jaredites fall from, like, being this people that were led by a prophet to get to this land, and then while they're developing in the land, you know, how their faith and power grew, and then how they get to the point where they are trying to literally tear down anything that has to do with God and his power, you would want to read chapter 13 to chapter 15 of Ether. Ether chapter 13 to 15. And in there, we'll talk about the Jaredites and how they fall.
Cool. Do we have anything left?
Yeah, actually. Okay, so yeah, that's all in the Book of Ether. So that's just the sum. I mean, that's just the sum up kind of that thing there. But if you want to do extra studies, you can do that. But that brings us to the end and the final conclusion of our study today. And I hope you guys liked our like our podcast and like the message we share. So we try to go into our own little personal touches on these lessons. And these may not be perfect lessons, but we do our best because this is just our personal scripture study here. I mean, our family scripture study, and we want to share it with you guys. And if you like it, please let other people know about it. But hey, if you also like it and don't want to let other people know about it, we're totally cool with that. There's just a lot of good stuff here for you to benefit from, and as we're benefiting from it also.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in. And yeah, sorry we missed last week. We were traveling and we forgot to record ahead of time. Yeah, we'll try to do better.
That's no excuse. Just kidding.
All right, guys, have a great Sunday and a great week. See ya.
Bye.